And welcome, everybody. Protestant Spotlight here. I'm your host, Brother Dan Goon. Glad to have everybody listening in today. We're going to be doing a show on the book of Genesis. I have a brand new book I've been telling you about. There it is. Genesis, a book of beginnings, the book of beginnings. And about 160 pages, I think. And I believe this book's going to be a tremendous help to you. It talks about the beginning of all things, as well as the beginning of the Jewish nation. I want to read a verse to you, and then we'll bring Doc in. Isaiah 46:9-10. I quote these all the time. Those of you that watch us, you know that I share this a lot. Verse 9. Remember the former things of old. For I am God, and there is none else. I am God, and there is none like me. Then verse 10, declaring the end from the beginning and from ancient times, the things that are not yet done. And I'll stop right there. God is saying in Isaiah 46 that he tells us the end from way back in the beginning. Well, where's the beginning? The book of Genesis, especially the first 11 or 12 chapters. And I was talking to Doc about that. He agrees some of the most important Bible reading you'll ever do in the book of Genesis, the first 11 or 12 chapters. It sets the foundation of everything. Very, very important that we get that. And so we're going to be talking in today's program about Genesis, the beginning of all things. And I think you're going to enjoy it. I think you're going to learn something today. Go on the website when you get a chance, or call the 800 number when it comes by and get on the list to get your book, Genesis, the beginning of all things. All right, right after the music, we'll be right back. Till then, stay tuned. And welcome, everybody, to the show. And Doc is with us as usual today, because we had a guest. I think last week we had a guest on. But we're going to talk about the book of Genesis. I've been working on this book for a long time. And praise the Lord, it's done. I'm happy with it. It went through some changes. And as all books do, when I write a book, things tend to change as you go. And Doc, let me read for the audience a little bit on the back cover here. The name of the first book of the Bible is Genesis, which means beginning. To fully grasp the truths of the Bible, it is important to comprehend the principles at the beginning of the Bible. Mm. Of course, that's true if you're reading a novel. Many of you, I'm sure, have read some books, some novels. You don't skip the introduction. You don't skip the first 10 pages, do you? No, you're going to miss the layout of, you know, who's who and what's going on in the story. Yeah, you got to have the beginning. And that's true of the Bible. That's true of biblical truth. You've got to. There's foundational things set forth for us at the beginning of the Bible, and almost all false doctrine and hype being spread today by prophecy ministries and preachers across our country has its roots in a wrong understanding of the first 12 chapters of the King James Bible. Mm-hmm. And that includes, Doc, this change in our country, people having a different view about Israel all of a sudden.
Absolutely.
They don't understand what Israel's all about and who they are and what God has in store.
They don't understand what the law that God gave to Moses for Israel, was for Israel. They don't. They get it all mixed up, and you're right. Yep. Your statement a while ago about these ministries, no matter who they are, have all kinds of ideas of different things out here, and are all rooted in a misunderstanding or a misapplication of something out of somewhere in the first 11 chapters or 12.
And I've said something similar to this even before I got in prophecy. 20 years ago, I was telling people a wrong understanding of Genesis 6 leads to a lot of problems later on. I've shared that here before.
That's just one of the many errors, but you're right.
Yeah, absolutely. But that's in the first 11 and 12 chapters. So that's just proof of what we're talking about.
Not only just a misunderstanding there, but then taking out of context verses in the New Testament to try to reinforce their misunderstanding of something out of the Old Testament. Yeah. And but it's been an issue for decades of time.
Yeah.
I've been in the ministry, you know, over 60 years, and I'm telling you, what we're talking about here, the misapplication, it existed in those days in my beginnings.
Yeah, it's just gotten more magnified and a little bit.
It has. Maybe it's more magnified.
More sci-fi now than ever.
Maybe it's because of the technology of our world today and the ability to discover it in many areas where without that, you didn't have that contact.
I said here, I believe it is vital for the student of prophecy to comprehend the first 12 chapters.
Yes.
Vital.
Yes, it is.
And so let me give folks...
I often say, Dan, when people come up with some of these ideas, that we don't even have to mention who they are or what they are, but when they come up with these ideas that are based in a misunderstanding, I tell them, if you'd just gotten saved and you'd never read a book, you'd never heard a preacher.
Yeah.
You just got saved and you just believed what the Bible said, you wouldn't believe what you're talking about now.
Yeah.
Because the only reason why you believe it now is because somebody inserted those thoughts into your mind for you to insert it into Scripture.
Mm-hmm. So, in my book, I start off with a preface here. I say, in the following pages, Brother Goodwin separates the book of Genesis into two parts. Now, I realize for some of you watching, you've maybe read some study guides and you're saying two parts. For what I'm doing here, I'm talking about the beginning of things.
For your book.
Yeah.
Yes.
The beginning, Genesis, the whole book is a book of beginnings. Mm-hmm. And I've separated it into two parts. The bigger part being less verses for some reason, but part one I call the beginning of all things, and that's chapter 1 through 11.
Mm-hmm.
And it's actually two-thirds of the book is the first 11 chapters.
Because you could write a whole book just on that.
There's so much in there.
There is. But if you don't get an understanding of the creation of man and who man is as a triune being in the image of God, and then you don't understand sin and the consequences.
Sin's consequences.
And you don't understand how that sin brought about the judgment of God in Genesis chapter 6 and chapter 6 through 9. And then if you don't understand chapters 10 and 11, you don't understand the foundation of the world and what happened afterward, the globalism and all of that, that we're coming right back to again, just like the Bible says.
Just like you say, how's it all going to end?
Just like
it started.
Yes.
And of course, specifically with a serpent, a bride, and some liberating fruit. Serpent being the devil and his minions And the bride, of course, is the church, mm-hmm. or the bride of Christ, the church, which is his, the bride. And then the liberating fruit being other sources of truth, other Bibles, other versions, other theological books out there.
Wouldn't you like to know more? Wouldn't you like to be able to know more than anybody
else? You sound like that serpent now. Wouldn't you like to have your eyes open and you be able to decide what is right and what is
wrong?
If
you would just read these books over here, you would get an understanding of the Scripture.
Yeah.
And I'm not saying that some of these extra-biblical books don't have some importance to it. Sometimes they give you some historical.
History,
sometimes they'll give you an insight to the times in which it was. But it isn't Scripture.
So part two, of course, the beginning of the Jewish nation.
Yeah.
Starting in chapter 12 with a man named Abram, who's going to become Abraham.
Yeah.
And I wrote here, by the way, chapter 12 through chapter 50, ends with Joseph in a coffin in Egypt.
That's right.
And but that's not the end of my book. I go further than that, but we'll save that for later. I wrote this here. It's Genesis, the beginning of the Jewish nation, starts with a man. And that's, we call him Abraham, but it started out as Abram.
Right.
Starts with a man. By the way, every great ministry started with a man.
Didn't yeah, God using
a man. God using a man. For a man.
Absolutely.
He didn't seek for a board. He didn't seek for a group of people. God seeks out a man, empowers that man, and that man starts what later on becomes a movement.
Yeah, a ministry. Yes.
Yep. And then sad to say, as time goes by, as years go by, and he passes off the scene, later on it becomes a machine.
It is.
And then a monument.
And history, you know, that old saying, history repeats itself. Well, I can easily show you in Baptist history as well as just Christian history. Everything has a cycle.
Yeah.
Everything has a cycle.
Yeah.
And it always starts the same way and ends the
because same way. Because man is sinful and things begin to decay. A man starts something, has principles. The next guy comes on the scene, he may change a little bit.
It's not long. And it's always the humble, the truth seeker that finally says, okay, I've had enough. You can have it. We're going over here and start another one based on what we know is the truth.
Yeah.
And it cycles again.
Yeah. So it starts with a man, Abraham, then a family.
Yeah.
And it's going to be Isaac, Jacob, and Joseph.
Yeah. The patriarchs.
Those four people are going to take us all the way to chapter 50.
That's right.
And I don't remember how many years that is. We can look it up, but it's three or four generations there.
It's about from Genesis 1 to chapter 50, you're looking very close to 2,000 years altogether.
I mean, from Abraham to Joseph specifically.
Yeah.
That's about four generations.
Yeah, that's about 350 years.
Yeah, of course, they lived longer then, didn't they?
Yeah.
So, and then it becomes a people and then a nation.
That's right.
And probably the choosing of Saul as the king, would that possibly be the beginning of the nation, so to speak?
Well, the nation, it's obvious the nation developed while they were in bondage. And they just needed a leader. They needed Moses, another one of the first. Here's Moses, who's going to be the first one to really rally them around God's purpose for them. They didn't realize their purpose.
And they wanted to be like all the other nations
that
of
developed,
the world.
That developed later.
Yeah, with the first king, Saul, I guess.
Yes, but they'd gone through the judges, so they've spent about 300 years there, but that's another book beyond that. But yes, they're going to come to a time when they want to be like everybody else. And I spoke with a preacher today, and we were talking about some issues in churches, and he said the problem today is everybody wants to have casual Christianity.
Yeah.
And it always falls back to that. But yes, the book is filled with first after first after first.
Yeah. Moses is the human author.
Yeah.
And I have an interesting thought to ponder. I don't know if I've ever told you about this, brother. In chapter 33 of Exodus, Moses decides he wants to see. He says, God, let me see your face.
Mm-hmm.
And of course, God says,
you can't.
There can no man see me and live.
Mm-hmm.
And another place in the Bible says, in the flesh can no man see God.
Right.
You'll be consumed. And that's the one thing they got right in the movie about whatever that movie was. Raiders of the Lost Ark. They got that part right. When they opened the ark, everybody that looked in was consumed. And I don't know if they got anything else right in that movie from, I think it was in the 70s, way back, or 80s, I don't know. But I have a thought about this, and I'm not saying I came up with this. I had a preacher that told me this. Now, he couldn't tell me where he got it, but he heard it somewhere. Is it possible that, because God said, I can't let you see me, but tell you what, hide in the cliff of the rock, and I'll pass by, but I'll hold my hand up, and I'll let you see my back parts.
Mm-hmm. Under parts.
That's interesting. And so, is it possible, and I wrote a little paragraph here about that, I simply called it an interesting thought to ponder. I'm not saying that this is true, but it's something to think about. Could it be that what is being implied in this story is that God gave to Moses the book of Genesis to write down when he showed him his back part. I mean, Moses wasn't there. God had to somehow give him the book of Genesis and the beginning of Exodus when he was a baby. Right. I mean, of course, his parents could have told him that, but Genesis, how could he have known the story of creation and all that? Because he penned it. Could it be that these back parts, and I do have some scripture for this. According to John 1:1, the Lord and the Word are one and the same.
Mm-hmm.
In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He's showing himself, his back part, he's showing him the beginning of all things. Just a thought. I'm not saying I'm right, but...
Interesting thought. Somehow or another, God gave him the inside of all of this.
Yeah.
Yes.
And he's going to pin the first five books, Genesis all the way to Deuteronomy there. And so Genesis tells us the end from the beginning. The key verse that I chose is Genesis 1:1. Really the key verse of probably the entire Bible. In the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth.
Right.
There's a lot in that.
Well, there's a, you know, talking about Moses and having an understanding, it's obvious God gave him what. But you got to remember that even when Abraham died, Shem was still alive.
Yeah.
So evidently information had been recorded, information been passed along. But it's obvious that God had to have given specific information and understanding as Moses wrote this.
Yeah.
And let's put it this way, make sure we understand that Genesis is the foundation, but it's not the oldest book.
Right. Job, they say.
Job
is
the oldest book.
Yeah.
When you study the book of Job, you realize that Job probably lived somewhere around 250 or so years after the flood, just before, I believe, before the time of Abraham.
That's what I've always felt.
It seems to be. But when you look at some of the names, Eliphaz and other names, and then when you go back and do a little family tree, you realize that some of these are some of the second generation individuals from Shem and Ham and Japheth in that era. So I'm convinced that. But as far as the placement of it, it's the beginning of all things.
Yeah.
That's why it's the first book. And Job goes over into the book of the histories.
Yeah. In part one, we shed light on the first principles in order of their occurrence. And that's where I begin chapter one here. And begins on page 7. And the first thing mentioned that I bring out is beginning. In the, beginning. I found four things, and there's more than that, just in verse 1.
Oh,
and then you shared some things with me, and I put those in the book. And we're going to talk about that in just a second. But the first thing that I bring out here is Genesis. The first thing introduced is time.
Right.
Time, of course, time and space. I'm always saying he created this universe for 6,000 years inside of time and space. Actually, 7,000 years, coming to kingdom age. And we say that a lot. Not sure how many people grasp what we're talking about there.
But you know, unless you've really looked at it in depth and meditated on it, you begin to realize this is so deep, I could never get to the full understanding of it.
And so I have a whole chapter, a whole section in here about man's perception of time, which is simply we think of time as past, present, and future.
That's right. And it is from our perspective.
Yeah. Yes. But up there, there is no past or future.
It is.
I call it real time, and I can't explain that. But
that's why God said to Moses, "I am."
In fact, I don't
he
know
didn't
if I
say I was. Or I don't know I if I changed that.
My proofreader, I was on the phone with him, Brother Steve Remy. He watches our show, I think. And I had real time in parentheses, and neither one of us knew what to do with it.
Yeah,
I mean, it's a modern term in the computer world. Real time with cameras.
Yeah.
This is real time. In other words, it's happening now or something. But that's all there is in heaven. And God sits up there and he sees all the way back to Adam And he sees all the way to, I almost named him, but the Antichrist. But anyway, he, and I'm just joking.
Yeah.
He sees the beginning from the end.
That's right.
We don't understand that because we don't understand time.
That's why when we see the fulfilled prophecies, it tells us we have a God that's omniscient, knowing all things, and he has given us information through prophecy to help us have an understanding of our time.
Yeah. The second thing I see in the beginning, God.
Oh, yes.
In the beginning, God. God is introduced in the book of Genesis. Right. In the first verse, mm-hmm. You think maybe this is all about him?
It is.
The first mention of God, and this is a book that's all about God, and it's everything's about him. And so I did a little looking at the word God. I said, I found out how many times in the Bible it was. It was over 3,000 times. I mean, the word God, not the word Jesus, the word God. Mm-hmm. And I found that 200 times it's in Genesis.
Wow.
But then I found out 32 times in chapter 1.
Alone.
And in fact, no other chapter in the Bible, from Genesis to Revelation, has a chapter with that many
times.
Mentions of God.
Yeah.
So here at the first chapter, first principles, God wants to make sure we know he's in the middle of this.
Right. And the name God comes from the word Elohim, Elo, God, but him means plural.
Yeah.
And in Hebrew, in English, two or more is plural. We're plural, the two of us.
Yeah.
But in Hebrew, you have to have three or more.
So there's the Trinity.
So you're introduced immediately to the Godhead. God the Father, God the Son, God. That's why when you get over to John chapter number 1, you find out that Jesus, who is the Word, not only was with God, who is God, but not anything was made that he did not make.
In the beginning, God.
Yes.
And then we've got the creation story, and we're going to get to yours in, right here in just a second, Doc. The creation story. In the beginning, God created.
Yes.
And I talk here about the theory of evolution. We were all taught in school is a lie.
Yeah.
It is the first verse of the Bible that says he created everything out of nothing.
That's right.
Webster's, and by the way, Webster's 1828 backs up what you told me earlier.
Mm-hmm.
Participle, created means participle, passive, formed from nothing.
That's right.
So
the word, the Hebrew word bara, a lot of times we'll see a picture an artist has drawn, or we'll see a sculptor that a sculptor has made. It's unbelievable. We say, man, what an awesome creation. Or an architectural, how in the world did they build this magnificent thing? Wow, what a creation. No, they had something to start with.
Yeah.
The word bara means to bring into existence what did not exist before.
Yeah. You build a house, you think you did it, but you started with some
You got
thunder.
All these materials you got. But on day number one, God brings the most important product, the most important material together on day number one, which didn't exist before that day.
Yeah, I have a paragraph. I talk about what we call the creative week, and I have some interesting stuff here, but we can't give them everything. The fourth thing I found was the gap theory.
Well, the book won't have everything because none of us could explore the depth of it.
The gap theory is refuted in the first verse, the first two verses, I should say.
Well.
And we won't get into that. That's a whole lesson in itself.
Even in that first verse that we just now talked about, creation was nothing before. So if there is a gap in time, that must have been something before that.
That's right.
Anyway.
Good point. So, Doc, I added something that you brought in, and it's in the book, about this thing about time, but you went a little further with it. I want you to share that.
Well, of course, I've been involved in science and creation for 41 years, and so I often see things maybe different than a lot of people because of that influence. But when you look at it, you realize, and your King James Bible is right when it says heaven. You're going to read many people will say, well, it means heavens, because they realize there's the heaven and realm in which we live, heaven of the celestial, and then the heaven above. And
the third heaven, we call it.
The third heaven. And so, but it says, in the beginning, that's time. And I tell folks, well, when you go to the last chapter in the book of Revelation, verse number 13, chapter 22, verse 13, he said, I'm the Alpha and the Omega. I'm the beginning, end, and the first and the last. And I always ask people in the congregation, I said, can anybody tell me what an everlasting, forever being Jesus, God? What's he the Alpha and the Omega of, the beginning and the first and the last of? What? It's time.
Mm-hmm.
Because time, as you've already said, outside of creation, is not a relevant factor.
Yeah.
But in the realm of time, it is a major factor. And all of that revolves around the person of Jesus. And so when you look at it and you realize that on day number one, God brought three things on day number one. He created time first. Then space. And then inside of space, he put matter, the heaven and the earth. Now, the earth is not going to be formed in the form in which we see, according to chapter 1, until day number 4.
Mm-hmm.
So, he brings together something that didn't exist before. Verse number 2 tells us what it was. He said, the earth was without form and void, and darkness was upon the face of the waters, and the Spirit of God moved upon the face of the waters. So on day number one, God brought three things together that is not a trinity. It's three parts, but it's not called a triverse. We call it a universe because it's put together in a way that they do not, one depends on each other. You can't separate them. So that tells me that when we see the term in the beginning God, we're introduced immediately to the Trinity. Because God is a uniplural God, that's why we have a universe.
Mm-hmm.
So we find the Trinity. There are many other things, but in verse number one, it's some wonderful truths. The Trinity and everything in creation literally is a reflection of the character of God.
Time, space, and matter. Speaking of time, we're running out
of it's gone
on the show. And didn't get as far as we'd like. We're just trying to whet your appetite. Some great stuff in. Remember, Amen. We're viewer supported. We need your help to stay on the air. I promise you, all your money is used for good use. And Doc and I don't get any of it. And it goes to being keeping us on the air. If you can help, we'd like to hear from you. Until next time, keep your eyes on them skies.